So for the webcast, it's Wednesday the 12th of February 2020, and my name is Mark Jide, and this evening, today, I'm going to be talking on being planted in love. One of the passages we very often quote on the webcast is Ephesians chapter 3, where Paul is praying one of his famous prayers about us being rooted and grounded in love. Another translation says rooted and established in love. And, you know, I think for many people it's a very, very well-known prayer. It's something we quote very regularly. It's something we've heard spoken about many times. But my experience is that the reality of what that really, really means very often eludes us. You know, we talk about being planted in love, we talk about being rooted and grounded in love, but I actually don't know how many of us have an understanding of what that really means. And I think very often we have a question that says, is it really possible for me to live in love? Can I really be planted in love? Can I really experience what it's like to be rooted and grounded in love? And I think that's a question many of us have. And I want to address that this evening because I really, really believe that it is possible for you and me to live in love. You know, I really believe if it's written in the Bible, if Jesus talks about it a lot and Paul talks about it a lot, this is not a theoretical concept, but this is a living reality for each one of us, that you and I, whatever you feel like, whatever your day's been like, whatever your week's been like, whatever your month has been like, you know, whatever your life has been like, it is possible to live in love. It is possible for you to be rooted and grounded in love. And I want to look at that a little bit this evening because I really believe this is a very practical topic, something that we really need to we can really take to heart. And, you know, I hope that it will shift us from having this sort of theoretical understanding of something to actually beginning to have this is a practical, real experience. See, now, I want to just, before I read some scriptures and before we start talking about this, I want to dispel what I think is a myth. And the myth is that we can only experience what it really means to be rooted and grounded in love if our heart has been completely healed, if all of our problems have been solved and if everything is going swimmingly. You know, it's like if life is going well, then, yeah, we can understand what it means to live in love. Well, that's a myth. It's probably a lie. It's probably a lie from the enemy to prevent us from living in love. You see, the reality is, and the reality of my own life is, I do not live a perfect life. I do not have every day being 100%. I mean, you might, but I don't. And, you know, the reality of my days is there's ups and downs like everybody else has. But I have come to experience that even with the ups and downs of life, even with the problems and the heartaches and the ongoing pain and wounding in my heart, you know, I have come to know an experiential knowing that I live in love, that I'm rooted and grounded in love. Do I experience all of the fullness of that love? No. Do I experience more of the fullness that I experienced 5 years ago? Absolutely yes. Will I experience more of that fullness in the future? Absolutely. You see, but where I am today, I know that I am living in love, that I am rooted and grounded in love. And, you know, for me to get to this place has been a journey of allowing myself to receive and to go on receiving love, to allow the Father to pour his love into my heart almost on a daily basis, and you know, maybe even sometimes more often, you know, more regularly than once a day, but several times a day. It's just to say, Father, will you fill me with your love? Will you pour your love into my heart right now? And so I believe as we pray that prayer, you know, Father, fill me with your love. Father, pour your love into my heart. As we pray that prayer regularly, like as often as you think about it, you know, not just when you get up in the morning or not just when you go to bed at night, but when you're driving the car, when you're walking around the office, when you're walking around the shops, when you're talking to the kids, when you're cooking the food, you know, whatever you're doing, you can just say, Father, will you fill me with your love? And that leads us into this process of being rooted and grounded or planted in love. And that's the thing that will really transform our lives. That as we live in love, as we receive love simply for the sake of receiving love, we will discover that we are being planted in love. And we will be able to look back over a period of time and say, yes, I know. I know that I know that I know that I am living in love. And for me, it's just like becoming more and more of a lifestyle to be loved and to receive love. You know, that doesn't mean to say every day is a good day. You know, that doesn't mean to say my life goes brilliantly all the time. But it's the posture of my heart to say, Father, I want to be loved by you. I want to live in love. I want to go on being loved. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians, I want to make love my greatest aim. And so really that's kind of like my encouragement for us this evening is not to wait till we're perfect, but to say, where I am now, Father, right here today, I want to know that I am loved by you. I want to make love my greatest aim. I want to fashion my life just around being loved. And so I really just want to really make this as a very, very clear statement at the beginning that it is possible. It really, really is possible for you and me to live in love, to live loved, you know, and we just make love our greatest aim. And we allow God to be a father to us, because that's the thing that changes everything. You see, when we allow him to be a father to us, we begin to understand who we really are. And of course, as God becomes a father to us, we begin to experience, we know and rely on the love that God the Father has for us, as John says in 1 John chapter 4. So I want to start off by reading this prayer of Paul's in Ephesians chapter 3. And I'm going to read it from the Passion Translation. And there's one particular phrase in this passage that I'm going to draw attention to when I've read it, because for me it really kind of summarizes, I guess, or really just encapsulates what it means for us to be planted in love or rooted and grounded, rooted and established in love. So it's Ephesians 3, verses 16 to 18. And as I say, I'm going to read it from the Passion Translation. And I pray that he would pour out over you the unlimited riches of his glory and favour, until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with his divine might and explosive power. Then, by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside of you, and the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life, providing you with a secure foundation that grows and grows. Then, as your spiritual strength increases, You will be empowered to discover the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions. How deeply intimate and far-reaching is his love. How enduring and inclusive it is. Endless love beyond measurement, beyond academic knowledge. This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. The particular phrase I really want to draw attention to and draw out of this passage is this: the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life. The resting place of his love. See, he wants us to rest in and on his love. The only way I think I can really describe this or give a picture to illustrate it is this. It's if, you know, in our living room here at home, I have a chair, my chair. It's a very comfortable chair. It's the one I always sit in, and it's my chair. You know, and when I've been traveling and, you know, I have, you know, an airport and a long flight home and then a bus journey back to our town. And then, you know, I come into the house and, you know, I probably unpack first of all. But there's something very, very satisfying about sitting in your chair. You know, it's like, I'm home. You know, wherever you go, it's not quite the same, is it? It's not your chair. It's not your living room. It's not your home. You know, you're always a guest. You're always a visitor. And you might feel very comfortable, but it's not the same as being at home. And of course, you know, the bed, you know, wherever you travel, you know, the beds can be comfortable or not so comfortable. They can be soft or hard. They can be narrow or wide. They can be hot or cold. But when you come home and you have your bed, it's like, I'm home. And that's what I feel that this this phrase, this sentence is really trying to convey to us, that the resting place of his love, it's like that place where you and I, we really know that we've come home. See, that's what it's like. You know, it's like when you have come home into the Father's love, when you have come home and you are resting in his love or on his love, then that love becomes the source and root of your life. It's the very thing that energizes you and gives you energy. It's your food. It's your sustenance. It's, you know, I'm not a gardener, okay? I don't do the gardening, but I know sometimes you have to feed the plants. You pour stuff onto them or whatever you do, and it soaks through the soil into the roots to nourish and nurture that plant to make it grow. And that's what the Father's love does for us. You know, it nourishes us. It nurtures us. It sustains us. It gives us our life and our energy. And it causes us to live life in all its fullness. It causes us to grow. It causes us to be healthy, if you like. See, when we discover for ourselves, when you and I discover for ourselves the resting place of his love, that we know that we are at home in his love, it's the thing that provides us with life itself. You see, this is why I think many, many people miss the point. You know, we know these verses, we talk about these verses, but how many of us can really say, that the resting place of his love is our source of life, the root of our life. It's, you know, and, you know, what I long to see for my own life, what I long to see for other people is that we find our home in his love. And that's the rub of it. You know, we know these verses, we talk about these verses, but we do not know, or we have not known, the reality of them. That you and I can make our home in love. And I want to encourage you, if you're on the webcast tonight, if you're watching later or listening later, that I want to encourage you to really, really believe in your hearts that this is true. That his love can become your home because it is your home. And he wants us, because he's our Father, he wants us to be at home in love. See, it's not unattainable, it's not outside of our grasp. We can live in the experience that God, the creator of the universe, just happens to be our Father, and that he is loving us with the complete and perfect expression of love right now. You see, that is possible. It's possible because Jesus won it for us. It's our inheritance. It's the gift that the Father wants to give us, that his love can be our resting place. And I believe, because I've seen it happen, the more we are planted in love, the deeper our roots go down into love, the more our hearts are transformed. And we begin to express sonship in our everyday lives. We begin to walk as Jesus walked. You see, too many people are over-concerned with the healing of the heart. Now, please hear me. I believe in healing of the heart. I want to see people's hearts healed. I've seen my heart healed. I've seen many, many people's hearts healed. I believe and I know that the Father wants to heal our hearts. But it's not the end of the story. You see, what I see happen so very often is people talk about a revelation or an experience of the Father's love in order that our heart can be healed, in order that once our heart is healed, we can go on and get on and do again and be more efficient, more effective, more productive, more fruitful. And it's like the healing of our heart is a process we go through in order to make us more efficient, more productive. And once we've been through the healing of the heart, and once we're becoming more productive, we forget the very essence of it all, that God is our Father. And we get on being busy. Now, I really believe in healing of the heart. I really believe it's important, and I really believe it happens. But I believe it's a consequence, it's an automatic consequence of being loved. That when we are loved, when we live in love, when we allow love to transform our lives, our heart will automatically be healed. We're not healed in order to become more productive. We are healed as a consequence, as a byproduct of being loved. And so what I would say to you is don't focus on your heart being healed. Don't concentrate on that sort of process of inner healing, but focus on being loved. Focus on making the resting place of his love the source and root of your life, that provides you with a secure foundation, and that will cause you, your spiritual strength to increase, as Paul says. It will empower you to discover the astonishing love of Christ. It will show you how deeply intimate and far-reaching it is, and you will discover that this love is beyond measurement, beyond knowledge, and it pours into you. And as you live in love, and as you make love your greatest aim, you will suddenly wake up one day and you think, good grief, my heart's changed. My heart has been healed. You know, those things that were a burden, those things that were a problem, I know God's done something. And you're suddenly aware you haven't focused on those things. You haven't been dwelling on them. But because you've lived in love, because you've made love your greatest aim, because you've allowed his love to become your home, suddenly you realize that that transforming power of love has transformed your heart. You see, what happens, and I see it so often, is people focus on inner healing. They then become more productive and suddenly they've fallen back into their old way of life of doing and performing and being busy. And they've not allowed God to be a father to them. See, and the point of this is that we allow God to be a father to us so that we can walk as Jesus walked and that we can live as sons and daughters appropriate to our Heavenly Father. You see, the thing that gives us a secure foundation in life is not having a healed heart. It's being planted and living in love. And that's the beauty of it, because that makes it accessible. It doesn't mean we have to wait till we're perfect. It doesn't mean we have to wait till we have it all together. It doesn't mean we have to wait until a certain process has been gone through. We can have that secure foundation in our lives, irrespective of what is going on around us, because we know that we're planted in love, that we're rooted and grounded in love. And as you know, once we begin to be planted in love, we suddenly realize how vast this love is, how wide and deep and high and long it is. And it's like, you know, suddenly we realized that we've got so much more to explore. You see, if we ever think we've got it, we've just brought God down to the level of our mind. And he's way, way bigger, way, way bigger. And, you know, the moment we're planted in love, the moment we sort of paddle in the ocean of love, suddenly we begin to realize how vast it is. And, you know, Paul says it's impossible for us to understand it. And we need to be strengthened. Our spirit needs to be strengthened so we can go on experiencing the fullness and the magnitude of this incredible love. You see, our human spirit is simply not strong enough to contain all of the love that the Father wants to pour in. It's too much. And that's why Paul says we're strengthened and expanded so we can receive more and more of this love. See, if we are to walk as Jesus walked, if we're to walk in sonship, then we have to be planted in love, just as Jesus was, so that we can begin to experience those last words of Jesus, where Jesus says, I've given them the revelation of who you are. I will continue to make you even more real to them, so you and I, may experience the same endless love that you have for me. For your love will now live in them, even as I live in them. You see, as we are planted in love, as we walk as Jesus walked, we are enabled in our spirit, in our heart, to experience the same love that Jesus experiences. See, the same intensity, the same fullness, the same passion, the same magnitude of love that Jesus, the Son of God, experiences, you and I can experience as well. See, Jesus had that intimate relationship and oneness with the Father. He was totally immersed in his Father's love. And that's the legacy or inheritance that he leaves for you and I, that we can enjoy and live in the same unity with the Father that Jesus experienced. I mean, that's incredible. That's amazing. But that's the truth of our inheritance, is the unity that Jesus enjoyed, the oneness that Jesus enjoyed with his Father, you and I can experience too. That's what Jesus said at the end of John 17, that we would know that we're loved in the same way as he's loved. And that's why I really believe that this is possible, because that's what Jesus' prayer was. And that's the That's what Jesus says he came to do. He came to earth to show us that we could be loved by God the Father in the same way as he's loved. And so, yeah, how are we planted? How do we become planted in love? You know, let me be very clear about this. And I've said it already, but I just really do want to reiterate this, that the Father is loving you right now. You might not feel it. You might be feeling very low. You might be feeling very sad. You might be going through a period of mourning or grieving, a period of loss. But I want to be absolutely clear that the Father is loving you right now. It says in Jeremiah that I have loved you with an everlasting love. And if his love is everlasting, you know, that verse in Jeremiah is written in the past tense. You know, I have loved you with an everlasting love. But if it's an everlasting love, what that also means is the Father is loving us right now with an everlasting love, because his love is everlasting. And so I prefer to read that verse in Jeremiah as not as I have loved you, but I am loving you with an everlasting love. He has always loved us. There's nothing that you or I can do to earn that love or to turn that love off. You know, it's completely unconditional and it's totally dependent on him. It's not dependent on me, which is very, very good news. See, if it was dependent on me, it would go up and down as I go up and down. But his love for me is totally independent of how I feel or behave. His love for me is perfect and unconditional and represents the fullness of love at every moment of my life. And, you know, I think as Christians, we've got into a bad habit or bad teaching of thinking that his love for us is dependent on our behavior. Like I was saying, you know, our productivity, our efficiency, our busyness, you know, the busier, the more efficient, the more productive we are, the more he'll love us. Well, that's just rubbish. You know, his love for us is totally dependent on him. And he never changes. And he is love. God is love. You know, see what kind of love the Father has lavished upon us. And he lavishes his love upon us, whether we feel good or whether we feel bad, whether we're having a good day or whether we're having a bad day. He lavishes his love upon us. It's generous. It's unlimited, unmerited. It's that beautiful experience. It's his resting place. It's our home. You know, let's make our home in love. See, this love, him loving us is, let's get out of our heads. Can we get out of our heads that it's something to do with us? You know, it's nothing to do with us. For God so loved the world that he sent Jesus. You know, whenever you read about God's love, there's nothing about productivity or efficiency or busyness or whatever. It's all just him. It's just what flows from his heart. So let's get this thought out of our heads that the more productive or more efficient we are, the more he'll love us. It's just rubbish. You know, let's get into our hearts that he is loving us right now. That he is our Father and he wants to be a Father to us. That he is lavishing his love upon us. That he is loving us with an everlasting love. That he is wooing us from the jaws of distress, as it says into Job, and bringing us into a wide open place. That he is drawing us with cords of loving kindness. That he is gracious and compassionate. You know, forgiving, full of love. This is our Father. See, it's all about him. It's not about us. It's not about how we feel, not about how we behave, not about whether things are going well for us or things are going badly for us, but it's simply his nature to love. And he's opened the door and said, why don't you come and make your home in love? Why don't you let love come and make its home in your heart? See, we have to get rid of this idea that it's something to do with me. It's nothing to do with me. It's all about who he is and him loving me right now with an everlasting love. In Psalm 139, Jeremiah chapter 1, it says that before we were born, he knew us. He knew everything about us. You know, all our days are numbered by him. All our days are written in his book. You see, we were conceived in his heart, and we were born to live and experience love. You see, it's not God that needs to change. It's us. You see, in Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve walked out of God's presence, when they walked out of that environment of perfect love, when they started that orphan-hearted journey of independence and pride, God didn't change. I am the Lord. I do not change. Yesterday, today, and forever. See, he, at the end of Genesis chapter 3, he didn't change. See, we have this stupid mentality that at the end of Genesis chapter 3, God changed. And then at the end of Malachi, between Malachi and Matthew, he changed again and decided to have pity on us and send his son Jesus. You know, that's not true. See, at the end of Genesis chapter 3, he didn't change, but we changed. The heart of mankind became orphan-hearted. We started walking in pride and in independence. We started following the prince of the power of the air. We stepped outside of that environment of perfect love. And the invitation is very, very simple. It's for us, it's for you and me, and it's for all those we know to step back into the environment of love. And to know that we really are truly loved. In John chapter 1 verse 12, it says, to all those who believe, they are given the right to become children of God. They're given the right to become sons and daughters. And, you know, the problem is, my experience as I've talk to people, as I've seen people, is although we've been given the right to become children of God, we've been given the right to become sons and daughters, many of us don't take up that right, you know. And so we're born again, our eternal life is secure, our place in heaven is secure, absolutely no doubt, our sins are forgiven, you know, all of that's guaranteed. But we're born again, but we continue to live in orphan-hearted ways. We become a Christian and we carry on living like we were living before. And we don't take up that right and live as sons and daughters. Let me give you a little illustration of what I mean. My bank's very generous. My bank have given me a card which allows me to go into the private airport lounges. Now, I'm very happy with that. I like that, you know. Heathrow Airport's very busy, you know, Amsterdam Airport's very busy, crowded, noisy. But to be able to go up to the business lounge and hand over my card, which my bank have given me, and be allowed into this lounge and sit quietly and have free food and drink is, it makes traveling a lot better. You see, now I've got the right, I've been given the right to go into those lounges. But I have a choice. When I get to Heathrow Airport, I can go through security and I can exercise my right. I can take up my right. I can go to the lounge. I can show them my card. They'll let me in. I can take up that right, or I can choose not to. And I can go and sit with thousands of other people where it's noisy and busy and I have to pay for my food and drink. And by the time I get on the plane, I can feel, rah! or I can, you know, I can choose to do it the other way. You see, that's what it's like. You see, we are given the right to become children, to become sons and daughters. But very often we don't exercise, we don't take up that right. And we go on living in the way that we've been living for many years. You know, living, yeah, our eternal future is guaranteed. It's secure. Our sins are forgiven. We'll go to heaven. Not a problem. That's all guaranteed. But we live our day-to-day lives orphan-hearted. You know, it is entirely possible for Christians to be orphan-hearted. But yet we've been given this card, if you like, that we can go and say, I want to exercise my right. You know, I want to live in the fullness of what has been granted to me. And, you know, I would be stupid to go to the airport, go through security and sit with thousands of people in all of the noise and the busyness when I, you know, that would be stupid. When I can go to the lounge and take up the right that's been given to me by, in this case, by my bank. And, you know, here we are, we've been given the right to become children of God, to become sons and daughters, to live differently, to live love, to live planted in love, to know that his love has become our home. Why wouldn't we take that right up? Why wouldn't we choose to be planted in love? But many, many Christians think that productivity and efficiency and busyness is what a good Christian life is. Do you know what a good Christian life is? A good Christian life is walking as Jesus walked. It's walking in sonship. It's taking up the right of the promise that was given to us in John chapter 1, verse 12. To all those who believe, they have been given the right to become sons and daughters. And brothers and sisters, I encourage you, whether you're on the webcast tonight or whether you're watching it, I encourage you to take up that right and live in the fullness of what has been given to you, to become planted in love, to receive the heart of sonship, you know, to let go of your pride and your independence, let go of your own world of striving and performance, where actually all you're doing is seeking to please a master rather than living in the center of your Father's affection. In Matthew 18, verse 3, Jesus says we have to turn and become like a child. We have to humble ourselves. You know, that word turn is basically means to turn right around and walk in completely the opposite direction. You see, we've been walking in our orphan-hearted ways. And he says, turn. Why didn't you change? Why didn't you go through a conversion experience? And instead of walking in that way, you turn right around and you walk in this way and you walk in the direction of sonship. Yes, you have to humble yourself, but suddenly you find that you've entered the kingdom of love. And that's what he wants for us. You know, he wants us to stop walking in our way, our pathway of independence, our pathway of pride, and to turn and walk into the glorious freedom as the sons of God. You see, this, we often talk about having a revelation of his love. You know, and I believe we need a revelation of his love. But you see, a revelation opens our eyes so that we can see things that we've previously been unable to see. But what a revelation often enables us to do is we stand here and we look at something that's here and we suddenly see it in the way that it is. But there's still a distance between us. You know, we're here and what we are having a revelation of is here and we're looking at it from a distance. And, you know, very often a revelation is there's still distance. You know, we see something, that's what it's all about. That's what the Father's love's about. But you see, and you know, that's what a revelation is. We see something that we've not been able to see. But I believe there's something greater than a revelation, and that's an impartation. And what an impartation is when we become one with what we have seen. Does that make sense? It's like, you know, when we see something, there's a distance, but an impartation is like we become one with the thing that we've looked at. And so when we have an impartation of the Father's love, we become one into his love. And that's what changes us forever. You see, a revelation is wonderful, and I hope and pray that we have greater revelations and more revelations. But I pray and hope that that revelation that we have and go on having, that those revelations will draw us closer and closer and closer into oneness with the thing that we've seen and had a revelation of, so that we become one into his love. That, you know, his love surrounds us and holds us and becomes our home. You see, that's what I believe God wants to do for us, that as a father, he wants to impart his love into our hearts. You know, Romans 5 verse 5 says, the love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. It's like the love of God and our hearts become one. And that's what an impartation is. And, you know, my prayer for us today is that we have this impartation of love, that we become one with love. And that, you know, that's irrespective of, that doesn't matter how we feel, what our day's been like, what our life's been like. It's just saying, Father, I want to become one with your love. I want to become united with your love. And you see, if this is the longing of our heart, then just ask him and go on asking him. Ask the Father to plant you in his love so that it becomes the very thing that sustains you and causes you to grow. See, you might feel like you're just a little seed planted in the soil of his love. That's okay, because a little seed grows into a big plant. But you need to be planted in order to grow. You know, if you leave a seed out on the side, it will not grow. But when you plant a seed into the soil, it grows. And as we, you know, the little seeds of our life are planted in his love, that's the thing that will cause us to grow. And Jesus, that's Jesus' heart for us, is that we would live in love in the way that he lives in love. John 17, verse 24, Jesus says this. He says, Father, I ask that you allow everyone you have given to me to reign at our side, for I want them to be where I am. That's the heart of Jesus. Father, these people watching the webcast tonight, I want them to be with us where we are, in love, one with love. I really believe that's what it is for us to walk as Jesus walked, that we become one with love. That's what I believe Romans 5 verse 5 really means. You know, that the love of God is poured into our hearts is that the distance between us and love is reduced, and we experience the impartation of his love into our heart, that we become one with love. This is an exciting journey. And, you know, it never ceases to amaze me that God the Father has chosen to make his home in my heart. So let's just pray. Let's just open our hearts to become one with love. You know, whatever today's been like, just open your heart to love, to be loved. Whatever tomorrow's going to be like, just live loved. And so, Father, thank you that you are love. Thank you that you're loving us right now, that you are loving us with an everlasting love. And Father, may we have a revelation of your love, the height and the depth and the width and the length of your love. Oh, Father, may we have a revelation of your love. But Father, I ask for more than that. I ask for an impartation of your love into our hearts, that we would become one with love, that love would become one with us, and that we would be wrapped around and held in your love. and that your love would become our resting place, that your love would become our home, that your love would become my home, that we would be inseparable from love, that it would be impossible for people to see where we finish and love begins, because we are one with love. And Father, just pour your love into our hearts now by your Holy Spirit. And as you love us and as we are loved, Father, may we begin to walk as Jesus walked. May we take up the right that has been given to us and live as sons and daughters. Thank you, Father.